So once you get through the relevant, good morning first, everybody. Once you get through the relevance review, the result of that is an invitation to submit a full application or a non-invitation. So at that point, then you're submitting, we send you an RFA. So that the full RFA will not be published on the website. We publish the pre-application RFA on the SCRI page and on the NIFA website. The application, the RFA for the full applications gets sent directly to those who are invited to submit a full application. Okay, so I was asked to talk about how to read the RFA, and my advice is read it carefully. So, you know, with a highlighter, with a pen, whatever. Even I, after working with these RFAs for years, it's easy to lose the details in there. So when you read it carefully and mark it up so that when you're going back and trying to figure out what is that program code again, that you can find it. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some tips and tricks that will help folks who are trying to be successful with the scientific merit portion of the review. And I thought I would reference some of the things that I hear panelists saying. Now, we have some people in the audience here who have been panelists who will recognize some of these comments. Okay, so one comment that we get sometimes is, this state is a major producer of this crop that's being discussed in this project, and I don't see them included on the team. Now, you probably have a good rationale for who you've included on your team and who you haven't. Make sure that's clear in your proposal, because otherwise your reviewers are going to be wondering, what, you know, how come this state has not been included, okay? So it's not saying that you have to include everyone, but have a good reason and make sure that that's clear. Now, we get this. There's no economist on the team. The economist appears to have been added at the last minute, right? So one of the great stories that was shared in a previous ASHS session, I think, was a PD who had tried three times to get funded. Feedback from the first one was, you have no economist, so they added an economist. Second time feedback was, well, the economist was added but doesn't seem to have been a genuine part of your planning process. And so in the third go-round, they genuinely included their economists and social science people, and this project director said that it really transformed their whole perspective on their project and made it a genuinely better project. So strongly encourage you to include both your economists and your extension, your outreach, your social science people from the beginning in the planning stages of your project. Okay, another comment. There's another team that has that's doing work on the same issue. And why are these two teams have two totally separate proposals? The obvious assumption is going to be that they don't like each other, right? Or that they don't want to talk to each other. So make it clear, you know, if you know there's another team that's proposing also to do work on similar issues, you know, explain why your team is separate. Maybe they have a little bit different focus. Maybe you actually do have a plan if you both get funded to collaborate. So just make that all very clear. And if it really is just a personality issue, I guess try to work on that. Okay, another comment is sometimes panelists will see an absence of reference to previous work on the issue and wonder, you know, where do these people think they're the first ones working on this, or you know, where is their reference to what's been done before? So just make sure that you include that. It doesn't need to be, you know, full kind of lit review, but just reference the key points. Another comment is, if the budget is either too high, too low for the work that's being proposed. I know that there can be sometimes a dynamic with your grants offices where they're encouraging you to apply for as much money as possible. But just be careful with that. If your budget becomes overinflated, that can review poorly. The proposal seems like disparate pieces stuck together. This is a huge challenge, I'm sure, especially some of these CAP projects have 20, 30 different institutions and different people contributing to your proposal. Just really do the work to make it a cohesive and clear document. If different people are contributing different parts, whoever the editor is will have a good bit of work to make that smooth. So your reviewers, I was talking with some folks the other day, and they're saying, you know, the people who are the reviewers are doing this on top of all of their regular work. And so you want to make it an enjoyable experience for them to read your proposal. If they're reading it and they're having to reread and reread and like, wait a minute, this section doesn't, I don't understand the flow from this to that, they're automatically sort of thinking like, I don't really like this proposal. And there are other conversations that happen. So oftentimes, because SCRI, the money is 1 year money, so we have to get it out by September 30. So it's a pretty tight timeline, and it's common for there to be just about 4 weeks from the time that the invitations for full applications go out and the deadline for submitting those. So once you submit your pre-application, keep working as though you're going to be invited. I know this makes it sting a little bit more if you don't get invited, but it'll set you up for having a stronger proposal if you do get invited. Okay, some of the nitpicky details. The project summary form, isn't that a beautiful thing? Look at how clear it is, how easy it is to see. This is provided, available to you through grants.gov. Please use it. Executive summary, this is a form that actually we are providing for you this year within the RFA. I think we did a link, didn't we, Tom? There's a link to it. So just one thing that people often get confused is the project type is planning, the standard research and extension project, or a CAP. Okay, so hopefully that will be very clear and make that obvious. The executive summary is where you're going to be listing. Notice down here in the program staff, we've got PD, co-PD, PI, co-PI, collaborator. The definition of a co-PD is someone who could take over the project in case the PD is not able to continue with those duties for whatever reason. Now think realistically about that. It's probably going to be somebody in your own institution because your institution is not going to be particularly eager to send that money to another institution. So really, a project should have a small number of co-PDs. Okay, those are just your people who are saying, like, I'm ready to take the ball and run with it if I need to. You can have lots and lots and lots of co-PIs. Okay? Okay, current and pending forms and your COI forms. This is just a detail thing. Make sure that you get the name on the top of the page. Because we get a lot of these and we're like, well, who is this for? And it's a little bit of a guessing game. And also, the key piece with the current and pending form is that you need to include this proposal that you're submitting. That's our awards management division wants to see that included in your time commitments. Okay, so this is a little bit more about making it easy, a joyful experience for your reviewers. It's just organize your submission. I just get a nice little tickle of excitement when I see a proposal where they've got their lists of COIs and biosketches and current and pending that are all alphabetized and they're all in the same order. Just makes things a little bit easier. like if you're a reviewer and you're trying to find a bio sketch to look someone up, just makes it easy. Okay. Who can tell me what's the key quote from Strunk and White? Omit needless words. So, be careful about going on and on and on about something, but also be mindful that your reviewers may or may not be experts in your particular discipline. So we will have a panel that often includes 20 to 24 people. There's usually 3 to 4 people who are focused specifically on your proposal, and it's possible that they work with a different crop than you work with. And so just be careful with assumptions that they understand what's important in your discipline or your crop area. Make sure you explain those things. Okay, when you submit the full application, you need to reference your pre-application. So if you look in, let me see if there's a pointer. Nope. But over there on the right, in the middle, you see agency routing identifier, and it's got a grant number. You're putting in the grant number from your pre-application. That just helps us to get everything put together, because when your full application comes in, we actually combine the pre-application with it, so the reviewers for the scientific merit review see both the full application and the pre-application and the reviews from the relevance review. Speaking of which, we ask for a response to the relevance review, and be sure to include that even if you just agree with what they have said. Just make sure that that's in there. If you're resubmitting, which most people do, bear in mind that your proposal will be reviewed by a different team each year, and so you need to make it a fresh presentation each time. And the number one piece of advice is avoid that procrastination. There are all kinds of things. If grants.gov is having issues and is particularly slow and you've waited until 6 p.m., well, 6 p.m. is too late, but you get the idea.